Can we be honest with the American people about what's going on here? This is political theater. I'm going to call out both sides right here. It's all posturing. It's fake fighting. We all know where it ends up. This is Groundhog Day. I don't care if the Democrat is the speaker or Republican is the speaker. We always get a CR in September, and then we get an omnibus. Sometimes there's a twist on that. We might get the omnibus before Christmas, but if we're not good, it comes after Christmas. But that's what's going to happen. And in the meantime, it's political theater. You know, we've got some, it's good theater. We've got great writers. I wish they'd just come up with a new plot. It's the same plot every fiscal year. What should we be doing? It's already been discussed. We should have done 12 separate bills. Hmm. We should have done 12 separate bills. But again, whether Democrats are in control or Republicans are in control, we never do the 12 separate bills. Why do we always spend at least as much as we did last year, and why do we never cut spending? It's because Democrats want to grow the welfare state, and Republicans want to grow the military-industrial complex. And we're eventually going to get together, and they're both going to go up. I guarantee it.
I love Thomas Massie, Congressman Thomas Massie there, who's speaking about the shutdown, the impending shutdown that always comes up the exact same time every single year. It's crazy. It's almost like it's designed to do that because of the appropriation bill and the CR and never having a budget. But, you know, don't tell us that it's all just like fake theater. We're really bored lately. I mean, there's nothing going on. You know, the economy's great. There's no crime. No one's eating animals in the park. I mean, we're all so bored that, you know, Real Housewives of insert city here isn't enough. So we need it to happen with congressional showdowns. Don't take away our joy, our live, laugh, love. Please don't. Welcome to the program. It's the first. I'm going to really try hard to be serious with you today. Feel like you deserve it, but not in a serious mood. Dana Loesch with you. We're at the top of our first hour. God help you all. Got to have me for the next 3 hours. And I am in a majorly smart ass mood. Top of the first hour. And you can listen across the country. Channel 347 DirecTV as well. And X and Rumble and la, 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 all kinds. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. So the debate is tonight. We will be doing, and you're going to get this email a little later if you are a subscriber, because we are going to do a subscriber event. It will be a live discussion during. I also have Fox tonight, so I'm juggling a few things. And Lorraine is helping out with getting the chat kicked off because I think it's Fox Business and Fox, and it's right up until the debate starts. And it's Kane 8 Central and it's 90 minutes. Yes, 8 Central, 90 minutes, ABC. And I mean, if you don't want to watch the debate, I would suggest if everything goes well, you could probably find a video on YouTube of just people feeding wood to a wood chipper. And it's the same thing. And just put that on loop for 90 minutes. And that's pretty much that's if everyone stays on message and does well and is behaved. If not, who knows what's going to happen? So the debate this evening, the rules for the debate. Now, you know, we got the mute button, right? The muty mute button. I know. It starts at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. By the way, East Coast folks, what is up? All right, Steve, you're on the East Coast. Why in the, like, that's 90 minutes. It's going to be like in the 10 o'clock arena. Like what the hell time do you people go to bed out there?
I don't know, but I fall asleep for most of it.
I mean, people go to bed at like 10-ish, like in the 10, 11 o'clock hours out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, 11, I mean, the typical thing is watching the 11 o'clock news, which is normal here, and then go to bed at 11:30. That's what the boomers do, but I fall asleep before that.
So yeah, he's technically, Steve thinks he's a millennial, but he's a Gen X soul. So we'll go ahead and we'll partially claim him. But what he's, I mean, that is true. It's not like, you know how like in Italy and in Europe, like they eat dinner at like 8 o'clock, which is super late to me. And then they eat for like 3 hours. And that's like a whole different culture. I was curious as to whether or not it was a whole different culture on the East Coast, too, because this stuff is always so late. I mean, imagine you got to get up for work in the next morning and you got the damn debate happening at 9 o'clock at night. How are you supposed to watch it if you got kids to get off to school in the morning? You got to go to work. Maybe you get up at the crack of dawn and work out. Maybe you're one of those people. I mean, and it goes for, it's 90 minutes, 90 minutes. So it's not going to be over until like 10:30 by the time everything's shut down over there. It'll be 9:30 our time. So that's a little bit doable if you're central. But good gosh. And now imagine how bad that was at the DNC when Biden was talking at like 11 o'clock our time. That was midnight at East Coast time. So I was just curious, like, why did the East, and it's always these East Coast outlets that said it this way. And that's why I'm like, I've been to the, you know, New York and DC more times than I care to admit. But living out there and having that culture isn't something entirely different. That's why I was like, what time do you people go to bed out there? Like, good heavens, like 9 o'clock Eastern time, 90 minutes. Good heavens. So each candidate has 2 minutes to answer a question, 2 minutes to respond to the other candidate. And then they have an additional minute for any kind of like follow ups or anything like that. And the moderators, they're going to intro the candidates, et cetera, et cetera. And then they got the closing statement. They are not allowed to have pre-written notes or props. Who was told, why do they have a prop rule? I'm very curious about that. Did somebody try to carrot top it at some point in presidential history?
They don't want Trump to have a chart that might save his life or something.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. No audience. So there's not going to be an audience. And you're going to have the muted mic. So there you go. Anything that you anticipate tonight, Kane?
No, it's no studio audience. I'm thinking it's going to come off like the Biden one, only she's going to do word salad instead of like dementia stuff. So I think that's kind of how it's going to be. They can't talk to their staff apparently between breaks or any time during that 90 minute period. So I find that interesting. I don't know how she's going to survive. So hopefully, you know, for the Democrats' sake, you know, she's able to complete sentences without saying 500 yeah. words that only take 83 words to do it.
Like I said, this is Trump's to lose. I do believe that this is Trump's to lose. He's got to stay disciplined. He's got to stay on message. It's Trump's to, it really is his to lose. Now, speaking of Trump, really quick, audio soundbite 22, Melania Trump, she's quite quiet. She's, I think she got burned really fast, like going into the cycle in 2016. She released a video demanding answers surrounding the assassination attempt against her husband. Listen to this.
The attempt to end my husband's life was a horrible, distressing experience. Now, the silence around it feels heavy. I can't help but wonder, why didn't law enforcement officials arrest the shooter before the speech? There is definitely more to this story, and we need to uncover the truth.
I mean, she asks some really good questions. You know, she asks some good questions. Her lighting's impeccable, by the way, in this video. I just want to point that out. If we could, you know, maybe make that happen in here. It'd be great. That's like Instagram filter, just to have it on, you know, perpetually. She has some really good questions. You know, like, why do we have so few answers? Think about it. Think about that's your spouse, and you still, and it just happens to be the, you know, former president of the United States, and we still know hardly very little about how all of this stuff was able to happen. And the media has done a very good job of distracting everyone and keeping them looking this way and that way so that they don't have to answer questions. I'm curious too how that comes up in the debate tonight, if it comes up in tonight's debate, and in what form. Because it was generally assumed that a lot of it has to do with the rhetoric concerning the state of politics. And I dare say that most of what we have seen is actually not most. All of what we have seen in terms of the violence has been one-sided. There's no like both sides here. It's all a one side thing that we've seen this. I am curious as to how this is going to come up and whether or not it will be, you know, if it's going to be a question that's asked or if it's going to be something that will be asked of Kamala Harris in terms of rhetoric, because they've described him as like a threat to the Republic and all them and the Cheneys, which I think that's a really serious thing to say. It's one thing if you don't like someone politically. There are a lot of people I don't like politically, but I'm not going to go out and be like, I think this person's a threat to the Republic, because that's lazy, stupid. And it's just, it's a provocation. It's cheap provocation, right? Don't be intentionally provocative unless you got some meat and taties there, okay? Just saying. That's just lazy and cheap, and it's a dumb attempt, I guess, to try to disqualify someone by using as the litmus test your like or dislike of them. And I can't, and the left does this all the time, and I'm tired of the whole threat to the Republic, because you will have people out there who listen to it and go, I mean, apparently now anyway, and go, oh, guess we've got to take care of that threat to the Republic. So this, it's going to be interesting. This ABC debate, audio soundbite 26. This was really amazing. So on CNN, they aired a 3-minute video looking at her record. And Erin Burnett, who's at CNN, was actually legit in shock from this. And just watch this. She was in shock from it. Watch it.
Tonight, Kamala Harris releasing details of her policy positions for the first time on her campaign website. A K-File investigation has uncovered, meantime, a 2019 questionnaire. And in this questionnaire, Harris laid out some much more liberal stances, among them on immigration. So in 2019, in what K-File found, she said she would cut funding to ICE, writing, quote, "Our immigrant detention system is out of control, and I believe we must end the unfair incarceration of thousands of individuals, families, and children. I was one of the first senators after President Trump was elected to advocate for a decrease in funding to ICE." Well, now, of course, she's touting the Biden administration's executive order to crack down on the border. K-File's Andrew Kaczynski joins me now.
She's Andrew, actually
pretty,
shocked.
Incredible on its own when you're talking about what you found here on ICE. What else did you find?
Yeah, and this was a questionnaire that she filled out for the ACLU. And this questionnaire is really an interesting snapshot in time of that 2019 Democratic primary. Kamala Harris was trying to get to the left of Bernie Sanders. She was trying to get to the left of Elizabeth Warren. And you really see that in a lot of these answers. And I want to walk our viewers through a little bit of what she said.
I mean, they're both looking at this like, wow, this is really shocking. And Erin Burnett just grows more and more shocked. It's like she didn't know any of this. They put all of this stuff up like they are dissecting a Republican. So what is CNN? That's wild. They don't like her. Or, dare I say, I don't think that they're trying to be, I can't say it, Kane. Are they trying to be unbiased? I don't even know what this is. What do you attribute this to? So they were very shocked about this. If you're losing CNN, you're in serious trouble. This is something that has to come up in tonight's debate. CNBC did the same thing yesterday. They had Gina Raimondo on, and she was, CNBC was telling her, Gina, she hasn't talked to the press. She's been impossible to pin down. And her surrogate's going, well, you know, that's not necessarily true. She had nowhere to go with it. Nowhere to go. And to add insult to injury, it came out last night. The New Republic, this is not a conservative website. The New Republic came out with a piece where they said that it was headlined, Kamala Harris can't keep running like this. They added in that she's been trying to be this agent of change, right? Go forward, etc. They said that she finally added an issue section to her website, which she added yesterday. It includes a bunch. This is from their website. It includes a slew of policies that the campaign has previously outlined, as well as sections on reproductive and civil rights. Unfortunately for Harris, its release was undermined by a simple but telling error. The page's source code revealed parts of her platform were copied directly from Biden's campaign page, end quote. They're not even her policies that she came up with. They literally copied and pasted. Like the whole layout of the page, the source, they copied and pasted it onto her website. The New Republic, not a left-leaning thing, wrote this. Is this maybe some foreshadowing for tonight? We got a lot to discuss. We're also going to talk about how the media now doesn't want you to believe the town hall that happened in Ohio, where everyone was talking about illegal immigrants eating animals in the park.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
James Earl Jones has passed away at age 93. One of the most amazing, he's an amazing actor, but that voice. I mean, he was the voice of Darth Vader. He was the voice of Mufasa. He did a lot of voice work. And 7 decades on stage, 93 years of age. There have been so many memes about Darth Vader and James Earl Jones, like the one where they have like the little hologram when Luke Skywalker's with the Ewoks and they're looking at all the, you know, the past Jedis, and people have him in there now. He's in Anakin's spot. It's so sad. Home buyers apparently are now waiting until after the election before moving. This was a very slow summer. And one of the stories that came out over at MarketWatch is that home buyers, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody's doing anything until after November. That's not surprising because nobody knows really exactly what's going to happen. Healthy foods that may be actually fueling colon cancer, the colon cancer crisis in young people. They said that some that they say that are healthy. A part of it is the emulsifiers in modern foods like low-fat yogurt, salad dressings, and even quote-unquote healthier peanut butter. Emulsifiers are not good for you. And common additives that they said that give dairy-free and low and non-fat foods their creamier texture. They have been, numerous studies shown that they're linked to gut inflammation. And that's a huge driver of all of this. Let's see, this jumbo 50 basis points. The Fed rate cut should not raise alarms, say analysts. Yeah, I don't think so. And the U.S. housing market's been hit by shrinkflation as well. We got a lot more on the way. The election, some new polling coming in, including Florida. Stick with us, our partners over at Tax Network USA. I mean, heaven forbid, we still haven't seen a return on the investment of all of the money that we pay into the IRS. But the IRS has made sure to add 88,000 new agents, sending out millions of pay-up notices. Oh, it's legalized extortion. You don't have to face it alone. Tax Network USA is here to help you. If the IRS says that through the theft they carry out, you owe back taxes or have unfiled returns, well, they've been tightening their grip. Don't face it all alone, because the IRS, well, y'all know how they deal. Schedule a complimentary consultation with the folks over at Tax Network USA. You can do it by calling 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com. And Tax Network USA, they have a track record of saving clients over $1 billion in back taxes. Their expertise, their reliability, and tax relief is unmatched. They have skilled professionals. Doesn't matter if you owe $10,000 or $10 million. They're going to get the best possible resolution for your issues, making sure that you get the most favorable outcome. And whether it's personal or business, they have the tools and experience to handle any situation, and they can handle it and help you resolve your tax burdens effectively, regardless of whether you're able to pay now or you're on a fixed income. Don't let the IRS control your life. Empower yourself with Tax Network USA's support. Take charge of your financial future. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/Dana and work with a company I trust. They'll help you resolve your burdens once and for all. tnusa.com/Dana.
We have a huge hole in our nation's roof. There should be only one priority for our lawmakers. America is spending $3 billion a day in paying off our own interest. You only need to be voting for candidates who can address this problem.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is clear, top of mind for voters in this election, is the economy, and specifically in these states, roughly 8 in 10, just a shade over 8 in 10, say that the economy is a major issue in deciding their vote. Inflation also continues to be a major concern. Voters clearly feeling uneasy. A majority, more than a quarter of registered voters in each of these three states, say that their income is not keeping up with inflation. You can imagine both candidates will be asked about this tomorrow night.
This is going to, it has to be a top question at the debate tonight. And this is, I mean, good grief, this is Pennsylvania. And this is a state that Democrats seem to be, and we talked about this, foregoing so that they can put Georgia into play. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the bottom of this first hour of the program. Some new surveys. Now, I told you, as we get closer to the election, we're going to start covering more of these. There's a Morning Consult poll that was released yesterday. Trump is +2 in Florida, according to this Morning Consult poll, and the margin of error is about 2 points. So ultimately what that means is that the Morning Consult poll has them tied. I don't necessarily think that they're tied. I was looking at the crosstabs for this. It's only like +1 Democrat, so it's not really oversampled. I think it's a kind of a good measure. But the margin of error is about ±2 points. And prior to this, the Hill had him at +3. So he's still leading. I think it's probably perhaps a little bit larger of a lead than that. But he's still, remember, Florida is not necessary. I think a lot of people think that because of the Republican legislature and then with DeSantis as governor, that it's a solid red state. And it's not. Remember, in 2012, that state went to Barack Obama by a pretty significant margin. And Hillary Clinton didn't fare very poorly in it in 2016. It has only been recently, and that's because Republicans in that state have been working very, very hard to register voters, to get voters out to the polls. I think Florida is really the blueprint for how Republicans should be operating state by state, because they've been registering Republicans over Democrats 3-1. So that's one of the things that I'm tempering looking at this morning consult poll with a little bit. There's way more Republicans that are being registered. And a lot of people, honestly, the best gauge is going to be right before the election, I think. But I'm not necessarily worried about Florida. And I don't think that people should freak out if they think that it's, you know, relatively close, because, again, that state went, I watched it. I watched the numbers come in live. I was doing debate. I was doing election night coverage 2012, and I was watching it come in live. And I knew immediately when they started calling in some of the southern counties, I'm like, yeah, this is going to go for Barack Obama. That was him versus Romney. So they've done a lot. They've had landslide statewide victories. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that Republicans who are outside of the state underperform Republicans in the state of Florida. And some of these states, you have that phenomenon. And that's one thing that the RNC is going to have to figure out, not just this election, but in the future, how to kind of target that and help boost their outstate Republicans. And so Republicans outside of the state, they typically underperform. They've underperformed the past four elections. They've underperformed in the state. They have. It's always those Republicans in Florida really like their Republican lawmakers, and they perform really well. Georgia is kind of the same thing. Georgia is very similar in that the Georgia Republicans perform very, very well. They overperform outstate Republicans, like Brian Kemp overperformed. Or he outperformed Trump, it's very similar to Georgia. However, one of the things that the Harris campaign has really been pushing is this: they have an Amendment 4, and that's an abortion thing. So that may be coming into play with some of this, and they've been really pumping it in Palm Beach County. And remember, Palm Beach County went red. Miami-Dade went red as well. So this is something that they've been really pushing. This survey was taken about the time that their campaign kicked off. So I'm just saying, just putting out everything out there. And it was done, the survey was conducted, it concluded September 8th, and it began on August 30th. Now, in addition to that, I got a couple of other things to pull up for you. We've got Georgia. So in North Carolina is too close to call in a new survey that's out from Quinnipiac. However, Georgia, Trump is leading Harris beyond the margin of error, not by a lot, but he's ahead beyond the margin of error in Georgia. And this is a pretty decent survey. And the third party candidates, Cornel West, they don't really matter. I mean, they barely each get 8%. So like together, they get maybe 1%. So it's a non-factor. And in North Carolina, Harris is +3 over Trump. And that is still, that's in within their margin of error. But Trump has a point lead outside the margin of error over Harris in Georgia. That could complicate things for Democrats, because as I've said, and this is why we started with this Pennsylvania audio, Democrats are willing to gamble, and that's why they didn't pick Shapiro. If they could have locked in Pennsylvania had they done that. They really could have. Because he fares, I mean, he's more of a moderate Dem. I think he's still, by Democrat standards, he's a moderate. That tells you how far left that party is. But he still has a little bit. He still has a little bit more higher approval rating than Harris and other national Democrats when surveyed in that state. That could have really helped them, but they decided to go the Walz route, which is asinine. But okay. Anyway, long story short, they gambled that so that they could try to go after Georgia. They want to make Georgia and basically sub Pennsylvania for Georgia. But meanwhile, Trump has a slight edge, and I do think that making peace, Kemp and Trump making peace, and then, you know, hopefully they'll be doing more events together. I think that will help, but that's very interesting. So that's going to be a fight for Harris and them. And I think Harris or Georgia voters too are so tired of the abortion stuff, because for the past couple of elections, including their runoff, that's been a dominant issue, and people get fatigue from that stuff. They get fatigue from those issues. They get fatigue from the same talking points about those issues. So, you know, now, Harris's support in Georgia amongst Democrats, she's got 94% support amongst Democrats. Now, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's your base. But what have I always said? That everything is determined by the margin. So let's look at independents. Independents, according to recent surveys, are split. It's down the middle, 46 to 46. That's a big concern for Democrats. And they got to figure out how they're going to deal with that without fatiguing voters out with the same stupid messaging that they've been plaguing them with for the past several cycles in Georgia. And so this North Carolina, it's, you know, again, that's going to be Trump is the polling average for the Hill has RCP basically has them tied. The Hill has them has Trump basically 0.4 ahead. So there's still time left on the clock, but it's getting close. And these things are going to start narrowing. Now, as far as the media goes, because they've had quite a time trying to rehabilitate the least liked candidate amongst Democrats and try to manufacture her popularity. And one of the big things that's been hurting Kamala Harris is not just what has been said about her as the border czar, which she was, but now you have all of this stuff. We played this audio for you. All of this stuff coming out of Ohio and elsewhere about residents. They've had town halls in Ohio. We played this video. They had a town hall where they had multiple residents come forward and talk about their fear and frustration over illegal immigrants from Haiti flooding into the town and capturing and eating local wildlife and people being afraid for their pets. Now, there wasn't any confirmation of a family pet, but there's tons of video and photographic receipts that people took about local wildlife. And that's where you get the ducks in the park. In fact, that audio came from one of the guys who was at that town hall. Now, the media is taking, now they're trying to say that it doesn't exist because J.D. Vance remarked about it yesterday. So J.D. Vance said that his office has received inquiries from actual residents of Springfield, Ohio, who confirmed all of this stuff. Furthermore, I want to add, there are actual residents of Springfield, Ohio, all over X and Facebook who are saying, do not let the media silence us. This is absolutely happening. And a lot of them are posting their own photos and videos that they took that you haven't seen in the media of this stuff happening. But because J.D. Vance remarked on it, and J.D. Vance being from Ohio, because he said something about it, now the media wants to act like it doesn't exist, including some of their local media. I took issue with one of the members of the press who kept trying to act as though this was something that was just saying that it was fake and that it doesn't exist. I was actually shocked by this stuff, that they were trying to act like that this doesn't exist and no one's talking about it and et cetera, et cetera. This reporter, Jake Zuckerman, said, quote, the city of Springfield, Ohio is in the awkward position of saying elite GOP politicians are plainly lying. And there have been no credible reports or specific claims of pets or animals being harmed, injured, or abused by people in the immigrant community. And I had asked, so the town hall was fake? All of the media is trying to act like it didn't exist. And that's sort of, I think, isn't that the pattern of the press to do that? Isn't that what they do? Yeah. Like they say that it doesn't exist.
They drag us along in stages.
Yeah. So we're at the it didn't happen phase right now. It's at the didn't happen phase of this, which, sorry, nobody believes that that's true. It did happen. And people were, again, at the town hall talking about it. But they're going to say that it didn't happen. It's not really happening. No one's doing this. And then they're going to go, what is it? They say that it didn't happen. And then they go, okay, yeah, but it's not a big deal. And then they'll go to step three, which is, well, actually, it's beneficial for you that this did happen. It's a good thing. And then they're going to go to the fourth step, which is the pounce phase. Republicans or people on the right pounce or seize or whatever. Like, your reaction to something that they have been shamed into admitting is true is the actual problem. So those are the
sometimes
steps.
They flip-flop those last two, but yeah, it's pretty accurate.
So we're at step one. It's not happening. Now they're going to go, the next they're going to say, no, it's happening, but it's not a big deal. Like, oh, they're culling the herds or something. I'm just waiting for that to happen. And they'll say it's not a big deal. Actually, it's a good thing. And then they'll say, no, it's the people freaking out. That's the real problem. Yeah, that doesn't seem. We got more on this. We're also going to get into culture coming up as well. Actually, this. Have you guys, remember Friends, right? Everybody remembers Friends. I don't know why Zoomers are acting like Friends is so problematic and such a big deal. Now you've got one of the guys who was on for one season. You guys remember Adam Goldberg? He was on for one season and he was slamming Friends and he was saying, oh, it didn't have any diversity and it was totally unrealistic. And he was giving this interview saying that, you know, it was just like in the 90s, he was on again, one season, part of the season. He was Chandler's roommate, Eddie, and he was literally on for 3 episodes, one season. So he has all this amazing insight. And he was saying, oh, they didn't, you know, cast people of color. There was no diversity. And he did this interview with The Independent that came out over the weekend, and it's only just now being seen. And he said, yeah, it was normal at the time for these shows to exhibit a lack of diversity. And I'm like, why is that take needed now? I mean, think about it. Why is that even needed now? That's so dumb. Family Matters, remember that show, which was great. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, A Different World, The Cosby Show, Living Single, Martin. I mean, all of those shows would love to have a word with him. I don't think it was that there was a lack of diversity. I think it was just siloed. And programming is still siloed. I mean, for crying out loud, you have different networks. So in a way, it's still siloed. But either way, this is a stupid take that nobody needed 20 years on. We have more on the way as we roll towards Days of These United States. Our partners over at Burnagun. It's a non-firearm. And for a lot of people who have to work in areas where there's a lot of gun-free zones, or maybe there's certain restrictions in their areas to what they can carry or where they can carry, this is a good option in terms of having diverse self-defense options. So the most popular model for the Byrna is the Byrna SD. It's their best-selling option. And it has a 5-round capacity, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles. When you compare that to, you know, your basic stun gun, they're restricted to just a couple of shots at most. But with Byrna, you have a 5-round capacity. They have different models. They have different accessories, all kinds of stuff. And it's a good way to make sure that you're always able to protect yourself, even in areas where they're trying to prevent you from carrying. So it's good to have some options and diversify your choices. Learn more about the Byrna gun. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA, for 10% off your purchase. There's no waiting period, no background checks, and it ships to your door. Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Let's talk about cats. Not cat ladies, but these memes that are going around, which are really, really viral, thanks to J.D. Vance saying somebody that Haitian cats. Migrants are eating people's pets, people's cats. You see there an example of what's out there, and this is just one iota of everything that is out there on the internet. Today, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party said in a post that, well, maybe this could have been a false rumor. That this is out
why
there.
Why is she talking like Chris Walken? I've got some questions. Why is she sounding like Chris? That's Dana Bash. First off, it's not false. They literally had a town hall. What the hell? They had a town hall. Throw up some, if we can, we don't have to play it, but just as B-roll. We played the audio of all of some of them. We didn't play everybody yesterday because there was a ton of people that came up and I wasn't going to play a million different clips. You guys got the idea, right? They had a town hall where resident after resident after resident after resident after resident after resident after, you get the idea. They all came up and they were talking about this. And that was just in one area, by the way. So why is the media acting like that didn't happen? I mean, we all saw it. We know that there was a town hall because we saw it. This happened. Stop pretending that it didn't. That's so weird. Why do these people do this? Stop it. Just stop. We all saw it. You're not going to sit here and tell us that what we saw with our own eyes is something that we actually didn't see. And that's also something that you just don't forget. And the way that one of the guys was talking about it, like they were walking around eating a duck. Like it was at a Renaissance fair. Instead of a giant turkey, like it was a duck that they got. I mean, come on. I just, this is, stop. Stop it. Don't tell us that it's, again, we're at that phase where the media is going to say that it didn't happen. And then they're going to go, yeah, well, okay, it happened. But it's not, you know, a huge thing. Stop. And then they'll go from, well, actually, it's a good thing. And then it's going to be Republicans seize. And then the problem will be your reaction to what happened that they wouldn't admit had happened and not had to confirm it so that they could then indict you over your reaction to it. Don't you love the logic of all of this? Jeez. So there you have it. Anyway, we got the debate tonight. We got some debate preview. We're also going to get into some more immigration. We got election. We got surveys. We got all that good stuff. The shutdown. The White House is upset. They're saying, no, we're not going to shut down because you want more transparent, accountable financial behavior from your government. No, thank you. And the House Freedom Caucus is demanding that everybody hold the ground. So we're going to see how that works out. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into the source code on Kamala Harris's website. They just copied and pasted it from Joe Biden's and put it on Kamala Harris's campaign site. They didn't even bother to make it original. We got that and more. Stick with us. Second hour next. Those who help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at ReadyWise. Heaven forbid something goes sideways. You want to make sure that you're prepared, that your family is prepared, that you have meals on hand, nutritious meals, meals where you can trust the ingredients to feed your family no matter what challenges you're facing. And this is one of the things that makes ReadyWise stand out against everyone else. You know the chain of command for all of your food. So everything is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, and it's packed in their state-of-the-art U.S. plant. It sends out from that plant. So you know where your food's coming from, and you're supporting U.S. jobs. It's all freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life, so it'll be ready when you need it for you. And they have two offers right now. Use promo code DANA20 at checkout to get 20% off any regularly priced item. They also have their buy one, get one 72-hour food kit. So that's $100 in value slashed in half. Buy one, get one, $50 for two. And their boxes include two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You got three hots, drinks, and snacks, over 11,000 calories in each kit. So visit ReadyWise.com, use promo code DANA20 at checkout, and get 20% off of any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, promo code DANA20, DANA20 for 20% off.
What's the wait time?
For back to line, probably pushing 2 hours.
Is there a separation between French speakers, English speakers?
It's all one. Those have interpreters that hop between windows as they come up.
Got it. So, Makes sense.
Yeah. We tried the split line for a while. It ended up being less efficient for everybody.
Got it.
Yeah.
What do you think the split is between new Haitians that have come in here
and
Springfield and OGs, if you will?
I don't know too much about all observationally. What have you seen? 9 to 1 easy.
9 to 1?
Yeah, wow. Dang. Well, so you have, that was audio. We're told this stuff doesn't happen of actual veterans in U.S. veterans being turned away in Springfield, Ohio, because people who immigrated illegally from Haiti are getting priority. And Juan's running B-roll of all the people that were talking at that town hall coming up and saying, this is what's happening. And yes, they're eating wildlife in the parks. And the media is going, didn't happen. The media is trying to tell you that this guy that you're watching on the simulcast at the Springfield City Commission meeting doesn't exist. He and everyone, how racist is the media? You have a black American stepping up to sit here and be like, this is what, we're afraid to go to the park. This is what's happening. And they're sitting here saying that this man doesn't exist and his truth doesn't exist. This is the media for you. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You don't, however much you dislike the media, I promise you it is not enough. It is not enough. Top of the second hour. I have nothing but contempt for them. Nothing but I've had this feeling for 20 years. So it's been a bit. You can sign up over at Substack. Become a subscriber at Chapter and Verse. We have a subscriber event tonight. It is a live subscriber event. We're doing a live chat during the debate. Yes, I'm there. I'm hosting. Lorraine is also assisting because I think I'm coming in right off a Fox hit. So I'm going to be a couple beats late getting in there because I got to be mic'd up. And actually right here is where I do it. And then we're going to be doing this the debate. No, we're not doing a drinking game because I'm not killing you people. My gosh, how many of you people are going to ask me this? What are we going to do? We're going to do a bingo. We have to take a shot every time this happens. Like, no, first off, that's not bingo. That's just drinking while you're playing bingo. And secondly, no, because we all have to be here tomorrow to go over all the insanity that happened at the debate, and I really don't want you to have a headache or be in the hospital with alcohol poisoning. So the subscriber event, we'll be sending out an email that instructs you on how to join. It's super easy. It's so easy. They practically do it for you. So make sure that you are signed up over there. And also, Channel 347 DirecTV, you can watch the simulcast and X and Rumble. The discussion happens during the show every day at Rumble. And then you can also find us on Facebook, too. So all these people are not supposed to exist. That's what we're told. Don't believe your lying eyes. The media does not want you to they want to be the arbiter over everything. They want to control everything. Everything. They don't want you to believe a single thing that's been happening, which is incredibly unfortunate if you live in Ohio and you're like, but it's happening. I'm living it. And there are people in from Springfield, Ohio, where this town hall meeting happened, have been all over social media saying, no, no, no. This absolutely has been taking place. And this is what's been happening. You can't tell us that this isn't real. It's all over. They want, and they're mad because J.D. Vance made mention of it. He is from Ohio. They're mad because J.D. Vance made mention of it. And so now it was further elevated in national discourse. And it's a true story. It's also a great measure of how seriously the left takes the issue of the open border. Because ultimately, that's what all of this comes back to, is the open border. There are a multitude of ways that American citizens, no matter where they come from, have been affected negatively by the open border. You have stories of people getting killed, girls getting raped, destruction, all kinds of horrible things that have been taking place because there is, when you can't say undocumented. You can't say that because you're admitting that there is absolutely unfettered access, free unfettered access across the border. And then the media wants to shame people into being against, they want to act like they're against immigration as a whole because they're against no documentation and people freely coming across the border completely unfettered. And that's just simply not true. And it's malicious. And then you have to question, well, what is their motivation? If they want to act like legal and orderly immigration and crazy, chaotic, unfettered, no documentation, illegal crossing is the same thing, why? Why do they want people to believe that it's the same thing? That's the question that I have. Because you are volunteering to have your motives entirely questioned at that point. What do you think, Kane? What's their motive for conflating the two and trying to shame people? We're going to play this audio here coming up with this woman talking about it. But what's the motive, you think?
To be honest with you, I don't know. Everything boils down to either money or power or both. So I'm at a loss.
Somebody's getting massive kickbacks from cartels.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of. Massive kickbacks from cartels. I want you to listen to this. And this is the woman speaking, I believe, correct? Audio Sunday 25. There was a child that was murdered, a little girl who was murdered. And by the way, she's one of those. You would think because she is an immigrant and her father's an immigrant that it's one of these are people that the left would champion. But they came here legally and they did it the right way. So I guess the left doesn't care. I want you to listen because there was an 11-year-old girl who was brutally murdered by an illegal immigrant. It's somebody who had a violent record. You know, they don't do blood tests and cheek tests and swabs and all this to determine whether or not someone is who they say they are and whether or not they got a record, a database. They don't do all that when they're crossing illegally with coyotes. I want you to listen to this. Audio sent by 25. Yeah, if we can get the audio, that's kind of the point.
This migrant that came here as a child crossed the border to Texas from Louisiana, and he saw Maria. At one point or another, he decided that was going to be his prey. He saw her father leave to work. He knew their schedule. He knocked on Maria's door. Maria, recognizing that it was a neighbor, told her father on WhatsApp on a voice message, "Hey, Dad, somebody's knocking on the door." And she said it in Spanish, "Papi, me estás tocando la puerta." "Dad, is that you knocking on the door?" Thinking her father had forgotten something. That was the last time he ever heard Maria's voice. When Maria went to the door, There's a little chain that we have in those apartments, right? When you open the door to try to keep us safe, that chain was not enough to keep this animal out of Maria's apartment. He pushed his way in, and Maria fought for her life. She was 11 years old.
Horrific. Maria Gonzalez, 11 years old, was found strangled to death under her bed in Pasadena, Texas. The suspect, an illegal immigrant from Guatemala, Juan Carlos Garcia Rodriguez. He crossed illegally through El Paso, self-surrendered to authorities before he was released. And I feel like, and I, God bless this woman for talking about this, because the details are horrific. I mean, the girl fought for her life. She had his skin under her fingernails. Some of her fingernails, she fought so hard, they were ripped off of her fingers because she fought and clawed so hard against her murderer. And the medical examiner determined her death was caused by blunt force head and neck trauma and asphyxia due to strangulation. And in this woman's testimony, and you can also read about Maria Gonzalez's father, and Maria Gonzalez is also sexually assaulted. Beautiful little girl. Her father was a hard worker. They came to the United States, and her father didn't have a car, and he would leave for work. He would walk to work every day, walk to work, worked hard, put in an honest day's work so he could provide for his family. And this murderer had traveled to their town and had been watching them for a little bit. And learned the schedule, knew when dad left, and knew that he could go and prey on this little girl. And Maria's father, because she, you know, thought that was her dad. This is heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Her father, when he rushed home, when he came home from work, he found her. I mean, I can't even imagine his anguish. Her body was, after she was used by this murderer, her body was crumpled up and stuffed into a trash bag. And it was put inside a clothes hamper and shoved under a bed. That is how this dad found his baby. Paramedics pronounced her dead at the scene, obviously. And the father is just, I can't even imagine his anguish. And when the left talks about immigration, they don't talk about what legal immigrants are forced to endure at the hands of those who come in illegally. Because it's not the axe murderers and the child molesters and the rapists and the drug dealers that are following the law and entering the country legally. Those aren't the people doing that. No, the predators and the rapists and the drug dealers and the gangbangers and the killers, they're all sneaking across the border. Many of them repeatedly where they're caught and forced to be released. And it's a vicious cycle that happens over and over and over again. And there's no deterrent because they know they can just disappear into the shadows after they commit their crime. No one on the left talks about families like the Gonzalez family. I mean, this sweet dad, he gets up every day, walks to work so he can provide for his family. I mean, he is taking his shot at the American dream. And that's what angers me. I think some of the most destructive stuff to the American dream, yes, it's what's happening to the economy and making it unaffordable. Yes, it's a lot of the policies that are coming down from the federal government. But some of the most damaging weapons against the American dream are what's being allowed here. You are a family that wants a better way of life and you want to take your shot at what you've heard about your whole life and you want to create something and you want to live off the fruit of your labor and you want to raise your family in freedom and without fear. And you come here and it follows you. And what's more, it's encouraged by the country that you sought out because of that American dream and because of that freedom and because of that liberty. I can't think of anything crueler or more of a betrayal to the ideal of the American dream than what's being allowed to happen at the southern border. Imagine on the left, you're luring people in to subject them to this. No one told Carmelo Gonzalez that part of the American dream was having his 11-year-old brutalized to death violently by someone, a criminal, protected and coddled by the leftist ideology of this nation. I mean, it's horrific. And this is happening every day. Crimes, some not as severe, but crimes, and people are being victimized every single day. Where are the left for the Americans who came here the lawful way? Where are they at? Nowhere to be found. Your heart hurts for that family. It's horrible. We have more to come as we roll towards headlines. And as we do so, our partners over at Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And they do a lot to advocate for liberty and promote the liberty movement. And they also want to make sure that you can afford your cell phone bill. I mean, we're in a time when nobody can afford anything. Everybody's, you know, broke essentially, thanks to Bidenomics, Kamalanomics. And now, as a result, everyone's looking at how they can cut costs. Patriot Mobile wants to make sure that families are still able to stay in touch. And so that's why they have tons of different plans. They can tailor something for your family, no matter the size, your business, no matter the size. And they offer reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. You're not funding organizations that advocate against your values. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make switching easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is entirely yours. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by other providers who just pretend to share your values or have the same coverage. Switch to PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So imagine this. You're doing like some home improvement stuff, and then you come across something and it turns out to be a centuries old relic that actually happened to this dude. He was doing just, you know, your basic run-of-the-mill home improvement project, and he found, checks notes, a 12th century stone carving of Otto of Bamberg, a bishop and a missionary. It's a 12th century carving, a picture stone that depicts this bishop, Christian bishop who visited the area like 800 years ago. This is probably worth $11,000, I would imagine. And it gets into the history of it. And of course, all the history people were like, oh, this is so great. And the guy's like, I just was doing my house, you know, and like I came across it. Do you get to keep this stuff when you find it, out of curiosity? Yeah. He's his architect connected him with an art historian, and then it like went crazy. So that's what they've discovered. I mean, that you could put it in your house. I don't know how, but you know, just saying. Interesting stuff. Let's see. El Salvador police chief dies in a very suspicious helicopter crash. I'm sure it was just totally an accident. The head of their police force and 9 other people. It just crashed right in the middle of the country. He was escorting a suspect in a multi-million dollar fraud scheme to San Salvador when the helicopter crashed totally innocently. Right? Yeah. Colombian court orders the culling of Pablo Escobar's hippos. And by the way, it's fascinating because Grand Tour with Jeremy Clarkson and all those dudes, they actually saw some of these when they were in South America. They came across the Escobar hippos. They've roamed freely since the 90s, but they kind of got out of control because they're mean. Hippos are really, really mean. And he had his own private little zoo and this menagerie of animals. They were seized. Animals were distributed, but 4 hippos were left alone. And this was in 1993, and they've just gone crazy. And now there's like a huge population of them, and they got to cull it. Thanks, Pablo Escobar. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But I do want to ask you about this CNN report. It shows Harris voiced support for cutting funding for ICE and for using taxpayer money to fund transgender surgery for detained migrants in 2019. Does the vice president still support those positions, and do you expect her to address them tonight?
Listen, I think, you know, these old questionnaires are a complete distraction from the task at hand right now. I think the vice president, frankly, what the American people are actually asking about, right? What the American people are concerned about and what they're asking about is who's going to solve for border security.
Oh, my gosh. What? That's so OK. That's one of Kamala Harris's, it's her spokesperson, Michael Tyler. And ahead of the debate, he's refusing to walk back the her position on the decriminalization of fentanyl and taxpayer-funded transitional surgeries of people who enter the country illegally. And how do you not have this come up at the debate? How do you not have it come up? Million-dollar question. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. Of course, we're going to be watching this debate. You can join the subscriber event that we're having. We're having a live chat during the debate. I'll send out an email to you subscribers. It's over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. It's the link in all of my social media profiles, and you can see it everywhere. It's always in all of our videos and all of that. But we're doing a subscriber event for the debate. And, of course, tomorrow it's going to be a humdinger. Juan and Steve probably aren't going to sleep because we're going to have so much audio. It's going to be so crazy. We're not going to play bingo because I don't think we can make the bingo thing big enough for one piece of paper.
And a drinking game is not smart.
Yeah, no, the drinking, because we're not responsible for killing you. So that's not going to... not going to happen. But this debate is, this is her test. I made this observation on social media. This is her, I mean, because it's her big test. She has not campaigned, really. She's done a couple of very controlled events. And I am amazed that the media has been, well, I'm not amazed. I know that the media was going to be all in for her like this. But consider Tim Walz. Now, nobody really knows Tim Walz outside of Minnesota. And he doesn't do any sit-downs. The only sit-down that he did was when he was with her because she couldn't do an interview by herself, and that was a disaster. So nobody knows who he is, and name recognition is so important. This will be an election that is going to be studied in terms of propaganda and I used to, when I was in high school, my high school actually, in the late 90s, they actually offered, mid to late 90s, a class called Mass Hysteria. I know, right? Go Fox High School. I don't know if they still offer it or not, but they had a class called Mass Hysteria, and I took it. I was a sophomore, junior in high school. And it was actually one of the most educational courses I ever took in high school. Legit. I learned a lot from that class. You could take current events or you could take mass hysteria. And I took mass hysteria because I was fascinated by, and it looked over, you know, everything from the Cultural Revolution. It looked at the Holocaust, all of it. And even in modern times, it was looking back, it was a conservative class that was taught conservatively. So I don't know if it would be offered or even be remotely the same anymore. But as I grew up, I could see everything. I saw how all of this played out because of this class. And some of this has to do with the way that she's being not reinvented, but repackaged to be more palatable to America. Because everybody knows that nobody liked her. Her own party didn't like her. The media hated her. And now she's, you know, the candidate. I mean, the regime switched them out. So this is really her first big test. No, I don't consider her previous debate performances when she ran in 2020 to be relevant because she was on a very crowded stage and she was at the very bottom. If you remember, she was always on the very end too, because that's how they structure who is where. If you're leading, then you're closer to the center or you're right in the middle. And she was never leading. She was, again, she didn't even merit first place. Poop Booty Juice beat her. So I don't consider that to be consequential or relevant. This is really the first time the nation, it's on ABC, usually, which still I think is more progressive than not, but for something like this, it's not so much siloed as CNN versus Fox or MSNBC versus Fox. I don't know. The New York Times poll has them very close. As some of the surveys that we talked about, they're close. Trump could really, and I think this should be his job tonight, to put an end to once and for all the media's attempt to rehabilitate her or recast her as a moderate or as someone who is unaffiliated with Biden. Everything Trump does, every answer must be choreographed to tie her to Biden and force the perspective to see Kamala versus Trump, then Trump versus Kamala. That's how it's going to have to be. And that's a tall order. I think if he's focused, he can do it. But that's a difficult task, really, for any candidate. But I think he can do it. But he can't. He needs to be folksy. And he needs to be focused. Here's the other thing. Populism is a tactic. It is not a belief set. I hear people say that they're populists. And I think that that's an incorrect phrase. You can be a fan of the tactic. But it is a way of delivering messaging about your principles and about your belief set. So you can be a conservative who likes populist tactics or likes populism. But I think to say you're a populist just means you like you're a tactic. I don't agree with that. The reason I bring this up is because too much populism is bad. Populism is like salt. A little bit is just seasons it perfectly. And I say this again as someone who leaned on it heavily as one of the founders of the modern day Tea Party movement, because that got kicked off using populist messaging. Absolutely. But at some point, you have to realize that you can oversalt. And then you can lose sight of the goal in the messaging, in the fog of messaging. And I bring this up because the left, and by the way, populism is not just something that the right can use. It is a tactic that is historically used by everybody. That's why I'm like, I don't want to say you're populist. The left has been using it quite a bit lately. They've been using it to try to battle the right, to go after those blue collar voters, to go after the Rust Belt, to try to shore up that blue wall that Biden lost, or that not Biden, but Clinton lost in 2016. And Biden really didn't do much to restore it in 2020. So they've been using a lot of it. You don't want to have populist versus populist. You want to be able, and one of the great ways that you can shut populism when it's all populism, and that's what the left has been doing, is just that tactic. They don't, what do they have to put in there? All they have is the way that they can say something, but they don't have the substance. They don't have the policy. If you ask them, what are you going to do about the border? What do you think about the border? Have you gotten a legitimate answer from the left, from her or any of her surrogates? All you get about the economy is we're going to tax the rich, and then we're going to make it harder for investment into small businesses through taxing capital gains over what communist China taxes. You realize that our tax rate would exceed that of the CCP. That's not hyperbole. That's truth. All they have are platitudes. They don't have anything substantive that you can actually go, okay, this is how this would work, and here is the logical course of this. They don't have that. They just have their messaging. So Trump has to just nix it with concise, like, this is what I do. Boom, boom. That's it. Very simple. And if he can deliver it in 60 seconds or less, that it could be one of the greatest debate performances of his life. It's all him. But he's got it a hell of a lot easier than she does. Her word salad, when she gets nervous, she has all these tells. Everybody has a tell. And she, what she does is her brain will cyclically go back on these phrases to give her, like, and she can say that because it's like muscle memory. She can reflexively say it while another part of her brain's like, okay, what do I got to say here? And as, even if it's a couple seconds, that's giving her a lifeline of a couple seconds to try to pull something out of her backside to throw out there. I feel like we're going to have a lot of that, because no matter how prepared she's going to be, and this is part of what it is to debate. When I would debate people, I would learn everything I could about that person. I would learn how to push their buttons. I'd watch their facial reactions. I'd watch everything that they've ever done. What makes them mad? What makes them happy? What's passionate? What are their tells? Everybody has a tell. And then when you learn through how someone speaks, if they're choreographed, when they're choreographed, when they're on script, he's got to throw her off that. So when he starts hearing her throw out these choreographed answers, he just needs to throw her off that in a very concise, short response to where she's got to tread water live on television. And that's really ultimately all he needs to do. If he can press her buttons and make her raise her voice up to a shrill level, all the better. But these debates are very much psychology. And her path is hard. She's going to have a hard time tonight. Very difficult time tonight. In fact, CNN, that's what they're saying too. Listen, audio soundbite 7.
Misha, let me say, it's not overblown to say this is the biggest moment of her political life. It's an incredibly consequential one. And there's still so much that people don't know about her, voters don't know.
Telling you. A lot that they don't know about her. Very interesting. Just saying. I mean, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be the first time a lot of America really gets to know her. Are you going to be watching? Just for the word salad alone, you going to get your greens? We got more to come.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, I got some stories for you. All right. So, first up, we got a guy who jumped in a pond to flee the cops, and then he collapsed on the shore, and he died. He died after he got out. This comes from the Tri-City Herald. At first I thought a gator got him, honestly. 43-year-old Justin Hogg, he was being served with a warrant for arrest. They drove down. He was trying to evade. It didn't work out very well. And he ended up trying to flee. And then as he got out of the water, that's when he collapsed. They took him to the hospital. I want to get to this story, too. Hang on. Which is the one I had? This one's crazy. Oh, here it is. All right. So a Florida man in a turn lane passed out behind the wheel of his car. When 41-year-old Furman Apopka was arrested, the Lady Lake police, they found him in the turn lane. This was at U.S. Highway 27. And he had tons of beer in his car and a ton of empty cans. And there was like 25 empty cans in there. And when they asked him about all of the beer in his car, he said he had only drank 25 beers since 5 o'clock. Now, they arrested him at 10 p.m. Okay, so he was 10 p.m. in this turn lane, passed out. They said, what? And he repeated, he's like, well, I only had 25 beers since 5 o'clock. 25 beers and from 5 to 10 p.m., that's a lot. That's, yeah, all the, but what? I mean, he's 41 years old. He's 5'4" and 160 pounds. Dude.
Beer every 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's insane. That is insane. So he was completely and totally right. At least he was honest with police about it. You know, he's like, yeah, I did it. What? I mean, an accused hit and run driver was arrested at a dance studio in Brevard County. A 24-year-old woman. She was involved in a hit and run. She hit a motorcycle with such force that it became lodged under her car, 24-year-old Rebecca Tate, and she kept driving. She kept going. It happened early Sunday morning, and it took West Melbourne police several days to locate her. She wasn't arrested at the scene because she fled, but they took her into custody at a ballroom dance studio. And the crash left behind a mangled motorcycle. It was crushed by her vehicle, and the rider, John Powell, was left critically injured in the middle of the street. So she just kept going. So she's a professional ballroom dancer, but she couldn't dance away from this. So she's got a slew of charges, and the whole thing was captured on surveillance video nearby, which you just kind of got to figure that's, you know, it's going to be caught on something. A Florida woman stole a $2,400 baby bird by stuffing it in a bag. Oh, my. This is, if I can get this, because Safari's not wanting to work with me here. So apparently $2,400 baby bird, stuffing it in a bag. I'm going to try to open this up, but I'm not having a lot of success because Safari's the worst, absolute worst browser on God's green earth. But anyway, she ended up ultimately getting caught. It's My Fox 8 is the story, and she was captured on video doing it. And she was browsing the bird section. And I just think that when people are like looking at, you know, they're browsing, they're taking their sweet time like this, it just sort of feels, it just seems suspicious in the first, you know, just seems suspicious to me. But it showed her browsing the section, then she picked one up and stuffed it right into her bag. 9:52 a.m. at Everything Birds, which is a store about 16 miles west of Tampa. And the store was getting ready to open. And the store owner said that, you know, they wanted the bird's safe return because it requires formula. It can't eat on its own yet. So they're investigating the incident. And $2,400 baby bird. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's see. I'm not going to be able to open this last thing, I don't think. I'm going to have to probably restart my whole thing. A 7-foot alligator did bite an elderly woman while she was walking her dog in South Florida. You got to be careful with this stuff. This happens a lot. And this is like this third elderly like attack involving an elderly woman. An 84-year-old woman was walking her dog in South Florida. And the gator, which was 7 feet 3 inches, apparently shot up out of the pond in North Fort Myers, bit her on the leg, according to Florida Fish and Wildlife. Her dog was uninjured. She had to get some stitches, apparently. And Florida Fish and Wildlife, they have to go and get the gator because, you know, you're attacking people. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
With only 8 weeks until Election Day, our Republican colleagues are trying to do everything they can to blame Vice President Harris for what they now call the Biden-Harris border crisis. They label her the border czar and the leader of the administration's border policy, even though they know that that is not and never was the case. Let's be clear. Vice President Harris was never in charge of immigration policy for the Biden administration and was certainly not the border czar.
Now,
that position does not exist, so of course she could not have been appointed to it. My Republican colleagues know this, of course, but have never let the facts get in the way of their messaging.
So this is Jerry Nadler, who's saying that, well, you know, that's not even a real position, so she couldn't have been appointed to it. No, I mean, you know, he's right. Jerry Nadler's right. She had an even bigger role than that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. It's Debate Eve, and if you are a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, the newsletter for the program, which you can access through Substack, then we're having a subscriber event tonight, the debate, live chat, you don't want to miss. Channel 347 DirecTV, also on Rumble, where the chat happens, and X, you can find the radio program. No, she had a way bigger job than that. I mean, even the New York Times noted that she even had greater responsibility than that of what would be described by a quote-unquote border czar. I mean, she, in 2021, accepted the role. She had a press conference. She had a big O official press conference. And she said her role would be two-pronged, according to CNN. Her role would be two-pronged. And CNN says Biden assigned Harris to lead efforts to address immigration. That was the headline for that. And then you had multiple stories from the New York Times explaining the significance of Kamala Harris's responsibilities as it pertained at the border, to the border. Wow, it's crazy. Crazy how these receipts exist. This was in March of 2021 when this happened. And the stories from the New York Times were in March, April, and May of 2021. Now, border czar, there had been kind of one already that was Roberta Jackson that Biden had appointed as ambassador to Mexico. But she took over the border in March, and then 2 weeks later, that's when Roberta Jacobson said that she was going to step down. Per the New York Times, Ms. Jacobson have argued that the increased flow of migration needs to be addressed at its source. Her role as one of the administration's top border officials was eclipsed late last month when Mr. Biden announced that Vice President Kamala Harris would lead the government's diplomatic region efforts with that region, end quote. And then there was an additional story that came out of the New York Times. This was on April 14th of 2021. Kamala Harris will visit Mexico and Guatemala as soon as possible. And this, in the story, it said she's taking over work from a departing official with years of experience, again, citing Roberta Jacobson, saying that she, and then quoted Jacobson saying that she was happy to see Ms. Harris assume the work of stemming migration from Central America. So border czar is a very limiting term. In fact, I think it's too limiting to what Kamala Harris was tasked with doing. She wasn't just tasked with solving the issue at the border. She was tasked with solving the issue of people coming from everywhere to the border and through the border. So you could argue it was even greater than that of a border czar. I don't know what you would quite call it, Kane. Like, borders are just, I mean, in a way, Nadler's right. It was a position greater than that. Yeah, a lot greater. And it was
international relations.
Exactly. And she was specifically chosen for it. And the responsibilities were expanded and just created only for her.
And she's been articulated that she was there to stem migration from those areas. That's why she was reaching out internationally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the idea that Nadler was like, well, this position that it was nicknamed in the press doesn't exist, so she couldn't have. She couldn't have had it. That's such a lame deflection. Come on now. Seriously. Let's not. But it's true. She had all of these. It was a grand, grand position. And I don't know how well she's going to be able to articulate her own platform at tonight's debate. Because, well, the issue section on our website, as we told you earlier, New Republic wrote this. In a story called She Can't Keep Running Like This. She's been coasting on good vibes, but the honeymoon is over. And they noted that the source code for her all the issues on her website, quote, the page's source code revealed that parts of the platform were copied from Biden's website. So she didn't even have it. That's insane. So she didn't even, it wasn't even.
It's a new way forward, though.
Was it, though?
That's what she's saying.
I mean, she did say that, but they said, unfortunately for Harris, the release was undermined by a simple but telling error. Her issues page revealed that the platform was copied directly from Biden's campaign page. So that means that they didn't even bother laying it out differently. The fonts, the sizes, all of it. They just copied and pasted into the template and then hit publish. That's crazy. And so how do you reconcile? And that would probably be, if David Muir isn't a hack, that's rhetorical, from ABC, the big question that he would ask is, how are you saying that you're plotting to Vice President Harris? How are you claiming that your campaign is a way forward and that you're a change untethered by your vice presidency with the current administration, when the majority of your issues page was literally copied and pasted from Biden's campaign page? How do you explain that? How is that different? How is that forward? See, the New York Times found that, remember the polling that I shared with you yesterday, the New York Times Siena poll about how 60% of voters wanted the candidate to be a departure from what we have currently, a change, not just a change, but the phrase used was a, quote, major change from Biden. And of those independents and Democrats, left-leaning independents and Democrats, only a quarter felt that she actually represented that change. That is what's going to hurt her. And particularly with those independents and the moderates, they don't feel that she is a change. And now, knowing that her entire policy position, a significant portion of her platform on her issues pages, was literally copied and pasted source code, pasted into the template and then published without a second thought. I mean, consider the previous statement that she came out with when she was talking about economic policy. They copied and pasted that from Biden, too. Because it talked about the Biden-Harris presidency. And as president, I mean, that had those phrases and it was written for him. They didn't even bother changing it. They didn't even give it a second read. They just gave it to her and she published it. She's not even coming up with her own stuff. So how are you saying that you're plotting a way forward, that you're a change, when you're literally copying and pasting everything from Biden's campaign and transposing it onto your own, transferring it to your own website? I don't see how this goes over with voters. And this is what Trump needs to do. He needs to paint her as Biden. It's just Biden. It's a continuation of Biden, and here's how. Now, what he needs to not do is play into her identity politic game. That's all she has as a defense mechanism, is to try to portray him as a sexist and or a racist. That's it. She has nothing else. What else is she going to say? How in the world else is she going to try to attack him or his record without compromising progressive tenets? There's no way to do it. I mean, she could try attacking him from the right, but that makes her look like not a Democrat, and that's going to turn off her base. There's no way she can do this. So, I mean, he should just hammer her on that. Is it your policy or is it Biden's? I can't tell. It was, you know, the source code says it was Biden's. Is this yours? Why didn't you just come up with something new? She couldn't even, you know what the source, it means she couldn't even put it in her own words. Like the verbiage, everything was literally copied and pasted into her website. That's embarrassing. And all of that stuff has a fingerprint. All of that stuff has a fingerprint. So I don't know. Any honeymoon that she had is over. And I think I kind of get the impression, not with all the press, but with some of the press, that they are looking at her to defend herself at this point. Are you going to be a candidate who can you actually fight for yourself? Can you actually show up and do the work? You can't just cackle and talk about Venn diagrams. Can you show up and do the work? Can you do it? And I think some of them are waiting to see if she can rise to the occasion. And I just don't know if she can. I mean, I know she can't. But the polls, to see who gets a bump, I think there will be a bump after this. It's not going to be like the convention the conventions don't have the same influence that they used to. This will. And you know what else is going to be important? How it's chopped up and packaged and sold after the fact on social media. Now you might say, well, I don't get my news on social media. If you are older and you're on Facebook, like hell you don't. Imagine how many, you share videos. I see everybody out there sharing them. Even if you think it's just casual consumption, that is still news. It is still influencing thought. So equally important is going to be how this is packaged and repurposed after the fact. So she can't cackle. I think if she laughs, it's over. Don't you think so? If she cackles, it's over.
Yeah.
She's got like a weird Squidward laugh. It's odd. She can't do it. It's over. And she can't word salad. This is not, she's got to be clear and concise. Golly, how is she not having a nervous breakdown ahead of the debate? I mean, how scary would that be if you're like, oh my gosh, I've never been tested, and you're going into a debate and he's comfortable on the stage. She's not. She's going to be gripping the side of that podium. Watch her.
She,
you know,
may have
she
a
will
drink
be.
Or two. She may have a drink or two before it starts. I'm going to be looking out for that.
Well, she shouldn't be. I mean, it'd just be, make it worse. Oh my gosh.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a bunch of apple juice that was sold at different Walmarts and Aldi's, BJ's, and Walgreens, they said that there's an apple juice recall because of elevated arsenic levels, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Great Value apple juice, that's the Walmart brand, Refresco, a few others. Now, apple seeds they have a level of arsenic in them naturally already, but apparently they said that there are no reported incidents, but something, it goes beyond there, whatever, I don't know. Just check the website. Let's just look at their, because that apparently, I don't drink a lot. It's just all sugar. Who drinks apple juice? I didn't even give apple juice to my kids. It was all sugar. Yeah, just eat an apple if you want apple juice. A casket controversy has been solved. This is a wild story. So This is Macomb Daily. A casket controversy was solved in this town. They said that there was apparently somebody in a casket in a local park in a photo that surfaced online, and no foul play was involved. It was an open casket with a floral arrangement and somebody sitting at a nearby picnic table. And they said that it was a funeral director from New York who was transporting a 97-year-old from New York to Mount Olivet in Detroit. She was a Warren resident who passed in New York. And apparently they wanted to say their goodbyes prior to her burial. And I guess that's what it was. Like, they said it was like a... they wanted to honor their... I don't know. It was... I don't really care. It's some dumb family that decided to do something I don't give a rat's ass about. Move on. I don't care. I've already lost. I want to talk about the lobster roll. Chris Sununu apparently saved a choking contestant at Hampton Beach lobster roll eating competition. Yeah. I'm still not a fan of them. But lobster rolls are delicious. And can I just say that I just think it's cruel to have a lobster roll eating competition because that should be savored and not like mowed through. That's my beef or my lobster. That's what the problem with it. Nation with lowest birth rate is rocked by the soaring sale of dog strollers. This is in South Korea. It is a big thing in South Korea. People and their dogs. And they're dealing with a low birth rate. And they're saying all these people are treating dogs like kids, dressing them up, walking them around in strollers. And I will say, I had a stroller for Rocco when he had back surgery and he couldn't walk. And to get him around from room to room so he wasn't alone, it was just easier instead of picking up, you know, all 30 pounds of him, picking him up every time. We put him in a stroller and he was happy in there. And, you know, it was just, it worked out because he couldn't walk very well and we had to rehabilitate him. Let's see, a croissant-shaped lamp bought on Temu. Is it Temu or Temu?
It's Temu.
Temu turned out to be an actual croissant.
What?
Yeah. So on social media, somebody on TikTok said that they bought a croissant lamp. And she said that she came home from work and there were tons of ants on the package. And then she realized it was actually a croissant covered in resin. Temu, the cheap Chinese brand. She said that's what it, that's actually, it's like one of those, it's like a lamp. It's a lamp that's like shaped like a croissant. So it's like a globe. And apparently it was literally an actual croissant. Is that not something that did she read that in the, I don't know. Syphilis is at its highest level since 1950s. Quit being skanky. They said, here's how to fix it. I'll tell you, quit being skanks. Super easy. We got more to come as we're at the bottom of this hour. Stick with us. More after this.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Tyreek Hill.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on? Why don't you have your seatbelt on? Hey, keep your window down. Hey, keep your window down. Keep your window down, I'm gonna get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Give me that.
Get out of the car.
Give me that, break the window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Get out.
Get out.
Get out. Get out. What part of God do you understand?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Drew, I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting arrested. I'm getting up, bro.
Apparently, he was on the phone with his agent, wasn't he?
When we tell you to do something, you do it.
I'm getting
you understand?
Up. I'm getting up.
You
bro.
Understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting
you're
out.
A little confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late. Chill,
bro.
Too late.
All right, bro. Take me to jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It
hey,
is good.
Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone.
All right. So, none of this had to happen. None of it had to happen. So that's Tyreek Hill. He was dragged out of the car and arrested And he was apparently on the phone with his agent, like while it was happening as well. And there, this took place in Florida. The police described him as not being very cooperative, which doesn't look like in the beginning that he was. There's a lot of stuff to unpack here. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Someone had said, I think it was actually him that did that. He said, he's like, well, what if I, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill or something that got when he got pulled over? I think we got audio of this. Yeah. Like, yeah, listen to this.
And I saw that you said if you weren't Tyreek Hill, that you feared this could have ended a lot differently. What do you think could have happened?
Yeah, like, so the crazy part about it is I hate talking like this, man, but because I have a Kia fan base. But the reality of it is it's the truth. If I wasn't Tyreek Hill, worst case scenario, we would have had a different article. You know, Tyreek Hill, you know, got shot in front of Hard Rock Stadium, you know, or that's worst case scenario. Or Tyreek Hill, you know, put in handcuffs and taken in and booked, you know. But it's crazy that, you know, me and my family had to go through this, you know. So
Hill's a wide receiver for the Dolphins, and they put out a statement as well. He was pulled over, and apparently he's pulled over for speeding, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, he was speeding in a construction zone. I've been pulled over before in a construction zone. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Juan is laughing at me already. I didn't even want to hear it. I wasn't even in a McLaren. That man was in a six-figure car. I'm so jealous of his car. Anyway, I'm not even going to tell you the specs about how fast that thing goes, but you know it goes fast, right? He was driving super fast in a construction zone, which is why he was pulled over. There were a lot of people who said that, you know, he was arrested, he's detained, he's booked. He wasn't. In looking at it, I mean, they dragged him out of the car because he rolled his window back up. He had tinted windows. He was forcibly put to the ground by officers. If he wasn't Tyreek Hill, I think the same thing would have happened. The same thing would have happened. I think that he would have been treated the exact same way. Because, and let me tell you just, and I'm a little white woman. I got pulled over speeding in a construction zone. I wasn't going as fast as he was. I was going 6 miles over. I got pulled over on a Sunday. And I was on my way to church. The officer did not care. That man did not care that I was on my way to church. He didn't care. And I get pulled over. You know, he's lecturing me about speeding. I had to go to traffic school and all this stuff. Oh, I totally did.
How fast were you going?
6 miles over.
You don't go to traffic school for 6 miles.
I went to traffic school 6 miles over.
Yeah,
I didn't get the friendliest guy wearing the badge, okay?
Right,
didn't
all.
Get the nicest guy. Anyway, you know, I was going a little over, whatever. I don't know. Maybe he had a quota to fill. And he lectured me the whole way. And I remember when I handed him my driver's license. And I, you know, you always have your hands on the wheel, et cetera, et cetera. And I kept my hand on the door for just like a second, and he was like, ma'am, hands on the wheel. Like, for a second, like, my hand rested on it. I'm like, oh geez. There was I've been pulled over twice. The other time I got pulled over, I did not have my sticker. I had my sticker that you put on your windshield, but I didn't have it like a fix, like your tag. It was literally in my, because I threw it in there and I was in a race and I was taking one of my kids to school. And I got pulled over, and I rolled my window down, and I rolled it down. I just wasn't even paying attention. It was like that much of it was up. And it was in Grapevine, Texas. And the cop that pulled me over, and even though I had my thing in there, because it wasn't affixed to my windshield, I still got a citation. And he told me, he was like, I need that window all the way down. I mean, it was like up that much, because I just did it real quick. And, you know, I had my hands up, all that stuff, because I was carrying, and I, you know, all this. And that was, so it doesn't matter if you're Tyreek Hill or not Tyreek Hill. Do you realize that traffic stops are where most of the time when something goes sideways, it's at a traffic stop, number one. Number two, why did he didn't need to roll his window up? Everybody knows that. You don't roll your window back up, especially if you got a tinted window. Cops need to see what your hands are doing, etc. Some people were saying that cops escalated the situation. I don't know. I think you could maybe make an argument for the third dude who came in if you wanted to. But all of this could have been avoided if he had just kept his damn window down and his hands on the wheel. Am I wrong on that? I mean, that's if you dislike the way things are, the time to contest it isn't at that moment with cops. That's not the time to contest it. And he was speeding. And you know that you're not supposed to speed in a construction zone. And we have Florida listeners that are in that area who have messaged and they've tweeted and they've put Facebook comments and they've actually emailed me. And they are like, there are signs that tell you don't speed in the construction zone because the fine is like, I can't remember what they said the fine was. The fine was hefty. He's going to have a hefty fine from this. So it's like you have the signs there. You know that you're not supposed to be speeding in a construction zone. You know, he was slow in producing his stuff. You know, it's like he hesitated, he rolled his window back up. You just don't do that. You just don't do, because they don't know what you're going to do. They don't know, are you supposed to get special consideration because you play football? I don't know. You just, you can't be driving like a bat out of hell through a construction zone in traffic. And to have a, you know, your tinted window. The tinted windows, I don't really have a problem with. I don't know. Listen to this. Audio soundbite two. He says, this is, who did you say? Drew Rosenhaus, who says, this could have been different if he wasn't famous. Listen. Oh, wait, we played that one. That was the one we played. I don't think it would have been. I don't think it would have been any different. And didn't the cops say they didn't know who the hell he was? Two of those cops had said after that they had no idea who he was at the time. They were doing their job. They had no idea who he was. They had no idea what he was, you know. They were just trying to figure out, you know, look, you're speeding in a construction zone. And apparently he was going pretty damn fast. And you all saw the traffic in that video. I mean, you saw a lot of traffic there. I mean, it's just not the smartest thing to do. But you don't roll your window back up. You don't roll your window. Look at it like this way. What if that was like your brother or your husband? Or what if your wife was conducting the traffic stop? And the guy rolls his window back up. You don't know what he's doing in there. You don't know. And consider that the majority of these situations where there's an officer-involved shooting happen at traffic stops. Tell me who escalated what when that window rolled up. You tell me what the escalation was. Because I'm thinking if you're rolling the window up when we're doing this, that's escalating. You're escalating. I don't know you. This cop didn't know him. He didn't know him. He doesn't. And look, I love that people play football. That's all great. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Not everybody knows who you are. I literally don't know who this man is either. I know absolutely jack crap about football. I do not know who Tyreek Hill is. I don't know. I just know that a guy is. Look at all the construction stuff in the video that Juan was just showing. You got the signs that tell people to slow down. You got the warnings. You got damn lanes closed. You can't be driving like a bat out of hell through there. And apparently he was going fast. He wasn't doing what I was doing on Seckman Road, 6 miles over in Jefferson County, Missouri. He was going fast. And then he rolls his window back up and he's not complying. Steve is dying at me right now because I don't know who Tyreek Hill is. I'm sorry, I don't know football. Baseball's different. I don't know football. Because the big debate is, well, who escalated what? And people are trying to race bait on. How are you race baiting? These are Hispanic cops pulling this man over. How are you race baiting? That's so stupid. That's so lazy. Stop. Just in situations like this, you don't be rolling your window up. And you just be polite and you handle it. That's it. You handle it. And you said what? There's body cam footage of him. Play that. Is that footage? I don't think we can play the audio on it.
I don't think we should play the audio because I have not been able to hear this just yet. Can. But I pulled the body cam footage of just before the actual stop. And it looks like that you can see him go right past the cop pretty quickly. All these cones in the road, everything, you know, it's construction area.
Yeah.
And this is just to show
you. Oh, he flew. Oh, he's flying.
Right. That's just to show you that there wasn't
he
like
is
some
flying in
targeting
this video.
Of Tyreek thing. This was literally.
I'd have pulled him over too.
Yeah. It's cops doing their job.
Look at all the lane closures in that footage that we're showing you on the simulcast. Look at that. The cops got to go. I mean, he was flying. That's wild. You can't. You look, you got it. Can't be doing that. I mean, that's a great way to get pulled over in these zones. But to race bait about it or act like it's a racial thing, you know, I mean, the posted speed limit was apparently 40. And I think what was it? He was going like 60 or something over.
Yeah, somewhere north of that.
Yeah, he was over like 60 miles per hour. I don't think he was going 100 miles per hour. No. I don't think he was going that fast. I saw some of the reports that were saying he was going that he...
Yeah, I think people were just saying 100 to make it sound like he was just going fast.
No, he was going fast. He was driving like a bat out of hell, but it went 100 miles per hour. That's stupid. That's just as dumb as race baiting. But it is... He was like, well, he thinks that he would have been shot if he wasn't a famous football player. But again, the cops were like, we didn't even know who he was. He said he rolled his window up because he didn't want people to see that he had been... pulled over. Maybe you should have thought about that before you're going 60 and a 40 when there were people doing construction work. Like, do you, and you saw in some of the footage, there were construction workers in the street. You know, I guess it's okay for, you know, what about them? Do we care who they are? Are they worth nothing because they're not famous football players? I don't know. Like, whose life was being gambled here? I think it's self-indulgent for him, for Tyreek Hill to say that this would have ended differently if he was not a football player. I think that's self-indulgent. I think it's selfish. I think it's self-indulgent. And I think it's that's stupid.
The truth would be it would have ended up differently if he just would have handed his stuff over and been like, you know, I'll pay my ticket. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
That's how it would have been different.
And yeah. And if he just like kept his window down, this could have ended. So I think he escalated it personally. Look, there's a lot of stuff to, you know, to, there's a lot of bad policing. If you want to criticize policing, I stood on a stage with a bad cop. I don't need to be lectured by a single damn person about bad cops. I sat next to a fat ass bad cop named Scott Israel in Florida. So I will not take lectures from anybody on that. He escalated the situation. Tyreek Hill did. And to sit here and make it out like, oh, this would have been different if I wasn't, you know what? It would have been different if you would have not been gambling with those construction workers' lives by going 60 and a 40 in a construction zone with traffic. How about that?
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
What in the hell is this? The chairman tweets, protect our ducks and kittens in Ohio because he goes down some crazy rabbit hole, completely debunked that aliens are eating pets. My God, are you okay, Mr. Chairman? Because last year, for a very long time, you tweeted and promoted Kanye West as he was calling for genocide against the Jews, and you kept it up. And now, when we have victims coming here, you're tweeting this
nonsense.
Nobody
has a pet duck. No one said that they had a pet duck, Eric. And also, there was a lady who was eating a cat in someone's driveway in Ohio, and we literally played the video. I'm going to use literally a lot. We literally played the video of it. Literally. Because the woman was recording it, and she called 911 and was recording it. And so there's actual video of someone eating somebody's cat in somebody's driveway that came out of Ohio. And then there was the guy at the town hall that people like Eric Fartsball want to pretend didn't happen, where the guy came up and said, people are eating like the ducks and the geese that are in the park, and I watched it. And other people came forward and they're like, yeah, we saw it too. They're walking around like it's a Renaissance fair, and they're eating ducks like one would a turkey leg. It's a real thing. So... is he mad because it's a funny AI-generated image? Because it is a funny image. That kitten is way too big.
And it's
first
endearing.
Off,
it makes Trump look endearing. And that's what they don't.
And also, the kitten is it's just out of proportion. The kitten's way too big.
No one cares
unless it's
about
like
that.
A Bengal
Nobody
tiger. That's kitten's that. Way too big.
It's too cute.
But he's dumb enough to think that it is real, probably. And that other dumb of his dumb voters will probably think it's real. I just want to keep what the hell is this forever with him pointing. That's a meme. And you could like have it. Be a ton of actually I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to save this, hold up, I'm going to screenshot it, and I'm going to save this because I'm going to abuse this like endlessly. Sorry, I got to do this right now. I'm going to use this like headlines or something tomorrow for the newsletter. I just need to abuse it endlessly. It's hysterical is what it is. It's funny. People were doing that. I mean, look, if you're not going to control the border, then you know, have fun. The AI generated images, they're weird, but they're going to be funny after tonight's debate. Kane, today in stupidity, what do we got?
Oh, boy. All right, our president, Joe Biden. This is cut three, by the way.
Oh, he's still there, is he?
Yeah, he's still our president. I know. I forget, too.
I was totally shocked.
And the reason I forget is because he goes out and says stuff like this, and then the media doesn't cover it. Listen to this.
In our short term, my short term, our short term.
What?
It's going to be a long term for Kamala, I hope.
What?
Our short A record 16 million jobs were created.
Okay, stop right there. No, jobs that have come back after COVID are not the ones.
I didn't listen to see if he didn't accidentally cuss there for a minute. I thought he did. Folks, I'll be on Fox Business tonight in the 6 p.m. Central hour. I'll be on Fox tonight in the 7 p.m. Central hour. Don't forget the live chat subscriber event over at Substack. Back with you tomorrow.